taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
On yesterday's program, I took a look at the state of American policy, starting with how the preparations for an emergency has morphed into plans for the American president to literally overthrow the Constitution and take over the federal government with a simple declaration of a national emergency. I showed how the federal government has taken over more and more of our lives. But there was so much in the stack, I couldn't get to it all. So today, I want to continue that theme. I want to show how federal policies are turning America, from the land of the free into a tyrannical oligarchy where those in government rule over the people, don't have to follow the laws, and simply are a whole new class of ruler. Now, if you missed yesterday's program, you can find it either on podcast or go to the Constitution Study page on AmericaOutLoud.com and see where we're starting from. So today I want to kick off with some finance. We'll do a little bit of financing. And the fact that America is basically bankrupt. The American government is bankrupt. And by extension, the people are on the hook for trillions of dollars because there's no way we're going to pay this off. Our debt is over $30 trillion, and they just passed legislation to increase the debt ceiling again. Now, the only reason we haven't defaulted on this is because, two things. One is the politicians keep upping the limit. They just keep figuring out, we'll just borrow more. They're like an addict, and cash is their drug. And they keep claiming they are going to get clean. They can get clean whenever they want to, but they never actually do. And this is nothing new. This didn't begin with Biden. This didn't begin with Trump or Obama or even Bush or Clinton or Bush or Reagan. You can actually take a lot of this all the way back to, get back to Nixon and probably even before that, when we turned the American dollar into funny money. And now you don't even have to print money anymore. They just go into a computer and say, click, 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 click. Okay, here's another $1 trillion. So part of the reason we haven't defaulted is because, every time we hit the wall, we just borrow more money. But the other part of it is the rest of the world still thinks that, you know what, as long as America's making the payments. It's like, I remember years ago I was buying a car, and I had secured finance, back when I still financed vehicles. I don't finance cars anymore. But when I used to finance vehicles, I had secured financing with a very favorable rate. And I remember going to one car dealership and saying, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm willing to spend. I have financing at this rate, so unless you can beat it, I don't want to hear about it. And we looked at the car and test drive and all that. And the guy comes back, and all he can tell me was how much I would pay a month for the car. And that's how a lot of Americans think, right? If you can make the payments, that's all that matters. And we never think about the consequences of it. Well, here we are. America is effectively bankrupt. We're to the point where we cannot make certain policy decisions because we are afraid of what's going to happen to our debt. For example, they talk about the Fed raising interest rates and all that, but they're very hesitant to because if they raise interest rates, the interest payments on our debts keep going up. You have any idea what the interest rate, what the interest is on $30 trillion? I don't know, but it's a lot. So we've backed ourselves into this corner, and as what do they say? You know, the debtor is slave to the borrower. To the lender, I mean. So we are in a financial mess from a debt problem. But it's not just that. See, America is in, if we're not already in, we are well on our way to a recession. And this should surprise no one. And while there are several things that have contributed, the largest factor, in my opinion, has been American policy. Not, you know, several different American policies. I'm not saying that there's, oh, this one thing. It wasn't Ukraine. It wasn't one thing. There are dozens of things that have led to this. And as we look at them, just look at what some of the people have been saying. That the people that are supposedly in charge, well, for example, Janet Yellen said that she was wrong about the path that inflation would take. Remember, she was saying, oh, yeah, you know, we've got inflation, but it's transient. It won't be a big deal. It won't be long term. She was found terribly wrong. She wasn't a little bit off. She was tremendously. This was a surprise to no one with a functioning understanding of economics. Yet we have the Treasury Secretary, Terry, saying, well, you know, I guess I was wrong about the path it would take because it's interesting. She's blaming it on Russians and Ukraine and all that. She says, oh, it's all their fault. Has nothing to do with anything we've done. We have a Treasury Secretary who said that she didn't fully understand inflation. Now, understand, as I understand it, the office of Treasury Secretary is a person who deals with printing money. Now, they've turned it into a financial analyst position, but you know what? I have a financial advisor. And if my financial advisor had gotten something this wrong, who had screwed up that bad and came to me, well, I guess I didn't fully understand what the market was going to do, you know what I would do? I'd fire them. I'd find somebody that knew what they were talking about. But here we have the Treasury Secretary. And again, we're not talking about something, you know, it's not like something attacked us that we weren't expecting. Yes, okay, the Russian-Ukraine thing didn't go as we expected it would, but it's not like it was a surprise. The Russians had been building up to this for, what, a year? So anybody that didn't consider, Russia, Ukraine, oil, wheat, stuff like that, maybe that's going to impact inflation. Well, then you're not qualified for the job. But here you have, again, Jenny Yellen. She's going around saying, you know, oh, well, you know, there's no way I could have known. I was a complete buffoon. I was a complete idiot, but there's no way I could have known. So it's not my fault. And now, after being so amazingly wrong about inflation, she makes this, I love this, she makes this statement. All right, now understand, gasoline, the average price of gas in America has reached $5 per gallon. This is an all-time record. It's not just a record, I think, in actual price. It's a record in how fast the price has gone up. So here is Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, supposedly, you know, one of the smartest economic and financial people in the country. And what is her response to this? Well, she said, absolutely, the U.S. economy is going to slow down. But there's nothing to suggest the country's going to face a recession. Excuse me, lady, do you need like economic glasses or something? I'm sorry, there is so much evidence that if we're not already technically in a recession, we are fast running headlong into one. According to the Biden administration, American families are going to pay an extra $450 just in gasoline this year. We're seeing, again, record inflation we haven't seen for 40 years. We've had 3 months of inflation over around 8.5%. It's been what, a year, 6 months, a year that we've seen it at 7%? This is sustained high inflation. And the same buffoon who said, oh, no, it's just transitory. Oops, I got it wrong. It's telling you, don't worry. There's no recession coming. Well, how about people where, you know, the people who actually, well, there are consequences if they're wrong. See, the thing about Janet Yellen is she can get this terribly wrong. There are no consequences. Unless she makes a politically a harmful statement, she's not getting fired. But if you survey business leaders, like, oh, I don't know, I think CNBC did a survey. Every American business leader surveyed expects that we will be in a recession by early 2023. Personally, I don't think it's going to take that long. Now, if memory serves, the technical definition of inflation is 3 consecutive quarters of negative growth. But you see, that's a trailing indicator. You have to go through 9 months of a depressed economy, of the economy shrinking, before they go, oh, yeah, guess what? We're in a recession. If they're going to declare it in early 2023, that means we are in the recession now. We just haven't heard that third quarter, hit that third quarter yet. But Janet Yellen says there's nothing to suggest that we'll fall into recession. That either means this lady is an economic imbecile, or, and I believe more likely, she's lying through her teeth. Why? Because the last thing she wants to do is actually deal with the inflation. Because the only thing that will deal with this inflation is to hike interest rates, to convince the Fed to hike interest rates, which will cripple the economy. But if you don't do that, then you have high inflation, which will cripple the economy. There is no good solution here. And for all of those out there that are blaming, that they're pointing the finger now at Washington, D.C. and saying, oh, those idiots, oh, those buffoons. Remember, we are the ones that kept asking government to buy stuff for us, to borrow trillions of dollars to pay for our health care, to pay for our retirement, to pay for our education, to pay. I saw a story where Biden says the federal government is going to cover 100% of the disaster costs in New Mexico. That's just more money. Just take out the credit card. And we keep asking for it. Even more, every one of those dollars spent, the appropriation started in the House of Representatives, which means the people's representatives filed legislation to spend that money. So as incompetent or buffoonish or just plain out fraudulent Janet Yellen is, Janet Yellen didn't spend one dime of that money. And the President of the United States could not spend a dime of that money unless your representatives in Congress voted to appropriate it. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, says no money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law. Your representatives, your employees in the House voted, at least a majority of them did, to spend us into bankruptcy and to cripple the American economy with debt and with inflation. So before you go pointing the fingers at someone else, remember, you hired, either because you voted for him or you couldn't convince enough other people to vote for someone else, you hired the person that works in Capitol Hill. They represent you. And they voted, or didn't convince enough other people to vote. Enough of them voted to say, let us spend America into bankruptcy. Let us adopt policies that increase inflation. This is not simply their fault. This is also our fault. We, the people, not individually, but as a whole, we, the people, have brought this on ourselves. And until we do the difficult thing and tighten our belts and say, you know what, we have to atone for our mistakes, we are going to continue to face the boom and bust cycle, the bubbles and the bursts, because we refuse to live within our means and we refuse to require our government do the same. Now, I have to take a break. Before I do, I want to talk to you about Healthy Cell. See, supporting your immune system is important, especially when you're on the go. Healthy Cell has come up with a immune-boosting nutrient pack in a travel-ready gel pack. It combines over a dozen immune supplements in one easy-to-use package, and you can get 20% off your first order. Just go to HealthyCell.com, try the Immune Super Boost, try any of their products. When you check out, though, use the code OUTLOUD. It tells Healthy Cell that you listen to America Out Loud, and in exchange, they'll give you 20% off your first order. Now, again, you can try the Immune Super Boost, the Focus and Recall, the REM Sleep, any of their products. You can put it in that first order. They'll give you 20% off. Now, I use the Immune Super Boost. My daughter uses the Immune Super Boost. Especially, we use it when we're traveling because that's when we're most exposed. But you can try it again. You'll get 20% off your first order. Just use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. Now, also, I am putting on my Blessings of Liberty tour. You know, one of the reasons we have a Constitution is to secure the blessings of liberty. But most Americans really haven't thought about what are the blessings of liberty and how do we secure them and how do we get back the ones we've lost? Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about as I travel the country this year. Now, you can find out more. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. And I'm still building the page. There's still information being added. But you can also find where I will be speaking. And if I'm not speaking near you, you can fill out the form and ask that I come speak to your group, your event, however many people you can get together. It doesn't need to be a large group, doesn't need to be a formal event, but let's see what we can do. Because as we're watching our economy implode, we're also losing the blessings of liberty that so many people fought and bled and died for.
There are microbes in the air and they're in your house, and the Genesis Fogger is the solution. This is a mobile fogger that uses a unique technology to give a non-toxic dry mist to cleanse the air and cleanse your rooms of microbes, whether they be bacterial, fungal, or viral, including SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. So go to the Genesis Fogger website and use the promo code OUTLOUD for a discount on your purchase of the model and get going with a cleaner house, as there could be more microbes on the way. We're concerned about not only the current pandemic, but future ones. So let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're talking about, well, we're kind of continuing a discussion from yesterday about American policy and just how messed up it has become, just how tyrannical it has become. And, you know, we talked in the first segment about our economic situation, which is terrible. But I was in the Houston area a couple weeks ago. I was at a homeschool conference and I had a lot of people stop by my booth. It was great to meet them. And one of the topics that came up regularly was the Sussman trial. Now, if you're not familiar with it, Mr. Sussman, David Sussman, was a lawyer for the Clinton campaign. I'm sorry, Michael Sussman. Get the right people. Michael Sussman was a lawyer for the Clinton campaign, and he was accused of lying to the FBI about the source of the data that was used to attack President Trump and eventually used actually to attempt to impeach him. Now, why did I bring this up? Well, one of the things that I was at this homeschool conference, and I had my books and I had some curriculum I was selling, one of which covered jury duty. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but most people, the way they act, you're not tried by a jury of your peers. You're tried by a jury of 12 people who couldn't figure out how to get out of jury duty. We don't think very much of jury duty and the importance of jury duty. The fact that you are not convicted by the government, you are convicted by citizens, by your peers. That's why the right to a trial by jury is so important. But we had an excellent example in the Sussman trial of what I believe is jury nullification. Now, I have to admit, I wasn't there during the trial. I wasn't on the jury. I didn't participate in the deliberations. I didn't see all the evidence, although I did see reports on quite a bit of it. And it seemed fairly convincing. But again, I wasn't on the jury. It wasn't my decision to make. But what I found interesting is the response of some of the jurors. I believe it was actually the jury foreman that said, I don't think it should have been prosecuted. There are bigger things that affect the nation than a possible lie to the FBI. Now, I want you to just stop and think about that for a second. There are bigger things that affect this nation than a possible lie to the FBI. Okay, I would admit, yeah, there are bigger things than a lie to the FBI. But how about the attempt to unseat a duly elected president of the United States? See, the lie wasn't simply a lie to the FBI. It was an attempt to unseat and to overturn an election. Very much thing we've heard a lot recently when it comes to January 6th, huh? See, if January 6th was an insurrection, could this have been considered a coup d'etat? I don't know. I wasn't there. But it brings up a very important point, at least to my mind, and that is the power of the jury. It appears, again, I wasn't in the deliberations, but from what I've found so far, that it wasn't a question of whether or not Mr. Sussman was guilty, but whether or not it was important. Now, there's been plenty of reporting about the makeup of the judge and the jurors and all of that. But this goes to show me that if lying to the FBI in order to overturn a duly elected president, a duly conducted presidential election, is not something that's worth investigating, worth prosecuting in the minds of these jurors, how can you possibly get a fair trial? That's really ultimately what I want to. It's not simply a question of jury nullification. How do you get a fair trial when the jury pool seems so biased? Because remember, you had to get 12 people. They didn't hang the jury. 12 people said, no, we're going to find Mr. Sussman not guilty, at least some of them because they thought it wasn't important enough. Now, imagine that this isn't a big public trial. Imagine you're somebody who, showed up in front of the Capitol on January 6th because you saw the criminal activity, the violations of the constitutions that several of the states went through. I'm not simply talking about the fraud. I'm talking about the fact that, five states appointed electors in a manner other than that determined by the legislature of their state as required by the Constitution of the United States. Now, if this person wonders whether or not an attempt to overturn the previous presidential election was not worth being prosecuted because someone lied to make it happen, What about the person that simply showed up on January 6th and now is being caught up and being, or if not tried, but being accused of inciting a riot, of insurrection? Can that person get a fair trial in our nation's capital? And I wonder how many people got called for that jury duty and did everything they could to get out of it because they didn't want to be involved. We think that justice is always somebody else's responsibility, but it's not. It's ours. So when Biden signs an executive order cutting police supplies and creating a bad officer a registry, well, I want to start with a couple things. Why is the federal government providing supplies to the police? That's not a power delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Sure, they can enforce laws on federal property, but not on state property, not anywhere else, only on federal property. But you see, this is what happens. Federal government takes your representatives, appropriate money to bribe the states, and now here's President Biden saying, I'm going to use that to manipulate the states and the cities because I can do it because they've accepted the bribe. And then they want to create a bad office, police officer registry. Again, not a power delegated to the United States. Now, there's nothing that prevents the states from creating their own bad police officer registry. Nothing. That would at least be constitutional. But here, we don't even have a law to do this. We simply have a king signing an order saying, here's what we're going to do now because that's what I said so. The state of American policy is no longer federalism. It is no longer constitutionality. It's not even a question of legality. American policy is the raw execution of power. And no, it is not just government. Former New York Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly has been interviewed, and he's pointing out that billionaire George Soros has done a lot of work to elect district attorneys, well, that seem not interested in actually enforcing the laws. Now, Chesa Boudin, who was recently recalled out of San Francisco, is one example, but that's just one. There are at least 75 district attorneys who got their job in part because of the backing of George Soros. He spent more than $40 million putting these DAs in place. Now, why is that important? Well, as I've been saying, we spend all of our time focused on Washington, D.C., and we miss what's going on right under our nose. See, people think that laws stop crime. Laws don't stop anything. Laws merely define a crime and maybe define its punishment, but they don't stop anything. But what good is a law if the quote-unquote justice system refuses to prosecute that law? Or when they do prosecute the law, hand out minuscule penalties. But we're talking, folks, again, on district attorneys, saying, oh, okay, well, you committed a crime. Well, I don't think that crime is a big deal, so I'm not going to prosecute. What good is your law then? Now, again, I lived in New York City pre-Giuliani. I saw the mess that it was in. And my job took me to New York City many times after Giuliani. And I saw the difference prosecuting crimes, even small crimes, makes. But if we're sitting here going, oh, well, you know, Biden's going to say, we're not going to fund the police. We're going to cut their supplies, even though they illegally supply them anyway. You have all the calls for defunding the police. You have all the attacks on law enforcement. And then you have DAs when the police do catch a criminal, you have DAs, many of which, well, they're simply not going to prosecute certain crimes because for what I can only consider as political reasons. Okay, yes, maybe they're conscience reasons, but if your conscience doesn't allow you to enforce the law, what are you doing as a district attorney? We are entering a lawless state. Why? Because if you're a criminal and you know you're not going to get prosecuted for certain crimes, what is it in California? In certain cities in California, was it San Francisco? You could steal up to $750 and not be prosecuted. $750 worth of stuff. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out, if I steal $700 today and $700 tomorrow and $700 after that, I've stole $2,100 worth of stuff. And they won't prosecute because I didn't do more than 750 a time. Now, at this very same time that we are creating a more and more lawless nation where we are attacking the people that we expect to enforce the laws, that we are hiring people that will not prosecute the laws, we have the same government trying to take away our best means to protect ourselves in this lawless generation. But before I get there, I want to tell you about at least somebody who's standing up and making sense. A Lucretia Hughes, who's a member of the DC Project, which is a Women for Guns, that she lost her son in 2016 to gun violence. Again, from a criminal who committed gun violence. She testified before the House, one of the House committees. She says, "Our gun control lobbyists and politicians claim that their policies will save lives and reduce violence. Well, those policies did not save my son. The laws being discussed are already implemented in cities across this country. We have decades of evidence proving they do not work. St. Louis, New York, Chicago, Washington, Atlanta are gun control utopias, and they are plagued with the most violence." But probably the best line that I like, she says, "I am a legal, law-abiding citizen, and I don't need the government to save me." And that's really the point, isn't it? Are you dependent on government to protect you? Or are you free to protect yourself? Now, here's one of the interesting. Representative Arianna Pressley. Now, she has been, she's been fairly vocal, if memory serves, on the restriction of law-abiding citizens from owning certain types of guns. Oh, for example, in an interview with, CBS Boston, she said, "What we need is a federal assault weapons ban. We don't care what the Constitution says. Second Amendment doesn't matter. The fact that assault weapons are not what's used in the majority of gun violence. Nope. This is a great opportunity to call for a ban on something she calls an assault weapon." When she appeared on Boston Public Radio, she supported universal background checks, the ban on assault weapons, raising the legal age to purchase a firearm to 21, and red flag laws. Now, again, why does the government need, what good is a universal background check? Many of these people who have committed these recent mass shootings passed background checks. How does adding more background checks fix? Doesn't matter. Raising the legal age. Okay, then they'll just get them illegally. And red flag laws are a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment. They deprive people of due process. But she said, that's okay, that's fine for you, because Arianna Pressley, she is spending thousands of your taxpayer dollars on private security. See, she, as a member of the House, she gets what's called a member representational allowance. And she spent $14,000 between January and March of this year just on security. She can afford to pay for armed security, but she wants to prevent the same people she represents from being able to defend themselves unless they can afford to pay for security. Isn't it interesting how she has no problem paying $14,000 a quarter for security of your taxpayer dollars, but she wants to make sure that you don't have a weapon that is excellent in use for self-defense, especially defense in a home? That if you're under age 21, nope, you're not allowed to do that. And oh, by the way, if someone even claims they think maybe you're dangerous, your due process rights go out the window. Tell me that doesn't lead to more lawlessness and danger. Why is it so many of these people that seem to be claiming or supporting restricting access to a device that you can use for your own safety are surrounded by paid security. Your safety has become a political football. Well, it's been a political football for years. So here we have, interesting, a couple of mass shootings. Now, one of which happened in Buffalo and several people died. And one of which happened in a school, Uvalde. And that, because, oh, it's the kids. We've got to do something for the kids. The House voted on the Protecting Our Kids Act, which really doesn't do much to protect your kids. Okay, they want to ban what they refer to as high-capacity magazines. Except their definition of high-capacity is the standard magazine for the weapon. And really, the capacity of the magazine does not make a gun less lethal. It takes 2 seconds to change a magazine. All it means is, okay, you get more magazines. Or you buy the black market magazines that have been legal for decades, but suddenly they want to make it illegal. They want to require somebody 21 to purchase a semi-automatic rifle. Well, okay, that might have slowed down the guy in Uvalde, but couldn't he have just gotten a gun somewhere else? From a family member or off the black market? They want to talk about gun storage, which, again, had nothing to do with these mass shootings. No, no, no. This is all an opportunity to punish the innocent, law-abiding gun owner, the person that takes their responsibility for their self-defense seriously, so that they will be dependent on the very police and justice system that they are turning into mush, that they want defunded, that they want neutered, that they want unable to do anything to protect you. Now, I'm going to go into this more after the break, but before I do, please let everybody know that you can listen to the Constitution Study live on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network, 4 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday. You can listen on our media player on our website or our apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. Again, you can find all the links you want at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also listen on podcasts from your favorite podcast app. Just look for the Constitution Study on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, many, many more. And do me a favor, subscribe and rate these shows, especially on Apple Podcasts, so that others can find the Constitution Study.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. If you joined the Constitution Study today, we're continuing a discussion we started yesterday about American policy, just the mess that it's in. And I had so many things on my list, it ran into 2 days. And I find this interesting. This past weekend, I was asked to participate in a Zoom call with a self-described conservative group. Now, I don't care if they're conservative or not, but if they are interested in talking and learning about the Constitution, hey, I'm more than willing to jump in and help. Now, it was interesting because I wasn't the only speaker. There was actually a couple of speakers there. And, well, this conservatives group, this discussion quickly devolved into a debate about who is and is not a Republican. Now, I find that interesting because conservatives, Republicans, you know, it simply reminded me of Washington's farewell address when he said, "The dissension natural to party politics is its own frightful despotism." It was right there on display. They had stopped talking about policies. They were merely talking about who legitimately could and could not identify themselves as a Republican. Now, what does this have to do with American policies? Well, I ended the last segment talking about the House passing gun control measures, claiming that it will protect children when it does absolutely nothing, when it violates the Constitution, not just the Second Amendment, but the Fourth Amendment and others. But they said, you know, what's going to happen when it gets to the Senate? Well, sure enough, there's now a deal, including 10 Republicans, to deal with, quote unquote, gun control. Now, what was in this package? Well, among other things, buyers under 21 will require an investigative period to review their juvenile mental health records, including checks with state databases and local law enforcement. It also involves spending money to support state crisis intervention and protections against domestic violence victims, and funding school-based mental health and supportive services, and what they refer to as investment in child and family health services. These are all spending your money, appropriating your money for stuff the federal government's not authorized to do. State crisis intervention, domestic violence in state property, school funding for mental health, none of those are delegated to the United States. So here you have, again, unconstitutional laws coming out of Congress, and, oh, well, let's see, we can get a bunch of Republicans. But my personal favorite is that the bill also included a framework for what they're so-called red flag laws. Now, understand, a red flag law, and I'm trying to get a meeting with my state governor because he's proposing red flag laws. They are unconstitutional. They are illegal. They are immoral because they do not assume due process. Now, again, there is nothing today that prevents someone who is a concerned citizen from reporting someone to the police that they think may be dangerous, and the police doing an investigation. And if they find probable cause, getting a warrant and securing either that person or, you know, doing something to help prevent a future crime. That is, there's not, all those laws exist today. Red flag laws bypass all that pesky due process nonsense and simply say if someone, they vary based on whether it has to be a family member or how the relationship is, but if someone says, I think Joe is dangerous and I think Joe has guns, we're going to confiscate the guns. He is guilty until proven innocent. Listen, I remember one time I had a family member approach me and say, listen, they were concerned that someone was going through a bad stretch and they didn't want them to have access to the guns. They asked if I would hold on to the guns for a period of time, and I agreed because I was concerned about the safety of people in that household. I didn't have to involve the government. I didn't have to go doing anything. This is a voluntary thing. But again, red flag laws. I have yet to see a red flag law that did not trample over the due process rights of the individual being claimed or that actually punished people for falsely accusing others. So yes, all of you Republicans, oh, the Republicans. No, there's 10 Republicans right there. And you know why they did that? Because they're Republicans. Because they think we can get political capital by supporting this. We will trade on our availability so that we can do this, so that we can be seen as doing something, so we can get more votes in November. You think the Republicans are going to save you? Ain't going to happen, folks. And while we're talking about red flag laws, the idea that, and again, understand where this idea comes from. We look in hindsight, you know, oh, the Uvalde shooter had said things, had posted things, and in hindsight, okay, that person was dangerous and nobody did anything. Or let's understand two things, right? Hindsight is 20/20. But here's the other, so just because you're getting hindsight, how many people have said something, just blurted out of anger, but didn't go out and kill other people? See, we never look at how many people did what the Uvalde shooter did, but did not commit a crime. See, the idea that, oh, simply saying something means you're a dangerous person. Think of how many times you've said something stupid. You've said something foolish. Imagine all it took was one foolish comment for you to be punished. But also think of it this way. How much time is law enforcement going to spend chasing down every person who says something ridiculous or that somebody is concerned about how they act and turns them in? And let's just forget about the number of people that use this as for a vendetta. How much time are our dwindling law enforcement resources going to be used to go after these people, and what percentage of them would actually be likely to go ahead and do and commit some sort of crime? See, there's no perspective here. Red flag is a herring. It's a red herring. It's designed to distract you. And the second thing to consider is what you're truly talking about is a form of pre-crime. Now, those of you not familiar with the book or the movie Minority Report, the idea was there were people using precognition who could tell this person is going to commit a violent crime, and they were arrested for something they hadn't done yet. The idea that somehow we can magically see the future. Now, I'm not saying there is no place for experience, for research, for understanding. But it's very key. You have to be very careful when someone's claim that someone is going to do something dangerous suddenly becomes sufficient cause to deprive them of their rights. For example, recently on the program Face the Nation, Dr. Julian Peterson, who is co-founder of the Violence Project, told the host that her research suggested that they can catch people before they commit mass shootings. Now, again, let's take into consideration. They're going to look at research. They're going to look at activities. These people are potentially dangerous, but they haven't done anything yet. Pre-crime. We're going to punish you for something we think you're going to do. And I wonder how many innocent people get swept up in these type of pre-crime vendettas in the hope of, oh, if we can just save one person, we will destroy the rights of dozens, hundreds, to prevent one person. And the first thing, if I were in the, that I would ask Dr. Peterson is, how often have you looked at a person's background and predicted their actions would lead to mass shooting? Not looked back, looked forward. Because that's the important thing. Hindsight is 20/20. It's easy to put this together and say, oh, I understand back then now. It's a lot harder to be looking at something and predict what's going to happen in the future. And really, do you want your life? Do you want your rights? Do you want your freedom dependent on the precognition of some scientists? Would it be any better than the precognition that COVID-19 was an extremely deadly virus, that millions were going to die from it in just months? But again, we are looking at getting government to protect us. If I can just get the right people, the right experts in place in some government program to take these people, I'll be safe. Except one day they're going to pick you. Now, how about we decide how to protect ourselves? Well, you see, government doesn't want us to protect ourselves. Progressives don't want us to protect ourselves. Marxists don't want us to protect ourselves. So when Governor Hochul of New York signed Senate Bill 9407B, making it illegal to purchase bulletproof body vests, making it a misdemeanor to buy body armor, to buy a bulletproof vest, Now, why would someone do that? Well, Paul, it's a bulletproof vest. It's not covered under, you know, that's not arms. Is it? According to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, arms are weapons for offense and armor for defense. But Paul, some people could use this armor for bad things. You are absolutely right. So we're going to deny millions of New York citizens the ability to purchase, if they desire, something to protect themselves because somebody might do something bad with it. Isn't that the definition of punishing the innocent? Let's say you are in one of those really dangerous areas. You know, like New York City. Maybe you're in Albany and you hear about a potentially dangerous group that's going to be demonstrating. I used to work near the Capitol. If I, you know, and you're walking around there. Let's say there's a group coming in and you're you know what? I'm concerned they may get a little dangerous. So I'd like a little extra protection. I go to purchase a vest to help protect my life. But the governor and the legislature of the state of New York says, nope, you can't do that. That's now a crime. See, the first time you do it, it's a Class A misdemeanor. The second time you do it, it's a Class E felony to protect yourself. Now, I find it very interesting. You know who does have bulletproof body vests? Law enforcement. Why don't the people have the same have access to the same things that law enforcement has? Because we don't live in a constitutional republic anymore. We have watched it being transitioned into a tyrannical oligarchy. Now, Paul, come on. What are the odds of that? Well, the Department of Homeland Security is warning of political extremism in the heated midterm elections. Now, I wonder what this who's leading to this heightened threat environment? Who possibly could be leading to this heightened threat environment? Could it be the very same people that support the Democrats in removing guns from law-abiding citizens, from removing bulletproof vests or bullet-resistant vests, to be technically accurate, from honest, ordinary, law-abiding citizens? Could it be the very same people that are that have been pushing for defunding the police that could be leading to this heightened threat environment? Because you notice, January 6th wasn't violent. There was not one firearm found except in the hands of law enforcement on January 6th. Not one. Yet we have example after example after example of leftist, progressive, Marxist groups bringing arms, bringing Molotov cocktails, being violent and doing damage. And if you happen to live in an area, let's say you live not far from a crisis pregnancy center, and the court comes out and overturns its opinion in Roe v. Wade, are we going to see violence again? Like, we've already seen violence. We've already seen vandalism. What if that turns to violence? Oh, but you know what? If you're in New York, you can't get that extra layer of protection because the legislature and the court doesn't think you should have that. What about the attempted assassination of Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh? You know what's interesting is we're not seeing the outrage. People were outraged that nobody showed up to January 6th without, you know, they showed up on the Capitol on January 6th. None of them brought a weapon. Here's a man, someone who went with the intent of assassinating a sitting Supreme Court justice. And where's the outrage? Remember, it was Schumer who called out both Gorsuch and Kavanaugh by name. They said they would pay he said they would pay the price. You won't know what hit you. No one seems to remember that. And when the House tried to pass a bill to increase security for Supreme Court justices, and the democratically controlled House shot it down, Nancy Pelosi's response, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Nobody is in danger. Really? Just one day later, the assassin was arrested near Kavanaugh's home and charged with attempted murder. Now, we have covered a lot in the last 2 days. I'm sure there's a lot to digest. You can always go back and listen on the podcast when it comes out in a couple days and maybe go back over some things. But here's the point I want to drive home. Here's the thing I want you to remember. Many of these policies, many of these issues, many of these problems have come about because we, the people, decided not to take care of ourselves, but instead to try and get government to do it for us and get someone else to pay for it. Look at all the things we've covered over the last 2 days. How much of it is simply, I want government to provide, I want government to protect, but I want someone else to pay for it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not liberty. That is dependence. And as long as we are dependent on others for so much of our lives, we will never truly be free. Now, please make America Out Loud your daily stop for all the news and happenings. Share the articles, the videos, the stories, the podcasts. Help others find America Out Loud so we can all share in the blessings of liberty.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.